Hello, it's lovely to be able to preach again on this wonderful subject of prayer. Before I plunge in today, just a couple of things. First of all, you will have received or will be receiving a survey that just asks you to set out your views on in-person services, online services, to help us plot a way forward over the next few months. You should be receiving that through the post with a stamped addressed envelope, and we do encourage you to take part and respond. You'll be aware that we are also in the middle of our 21 days of prayer, 21 days of prayer in 2021. Thank you for engaging with this. And of course, this service is actually part of that prayer initiative, really praying for God's leading and blessing as we move into this next chapter of our life together, and not just focusing on us in North Leeds, but praying kingdom prayers around the world. The Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer that Jesus gives his disciples, is a great go-to place when we are thinking about prayer. It's very familiar to us, but it also should be very challenging, and certainly I feel that challenge myself. Preachers rightly hesitate to preach on prayer because the challenge obviously is for me and for others about our own prayer lives. Someone was once asked to write a book about prayer, and knowing that there were some issues in their own prayer life, they demurred and suggested five other people who they thought would be far better placed to write a book on prayer. The response from the publishers was this: well, we've already asked those five people and they've already all said no, so now we're coming to you. There is a right hesitancy in speaking about prayer, but we need to preach the scriptures on prayer, and so I do so today, applying them very much to myself as well as to you. What do we learn about prayer from the opening verses of the Lord's Prayer? I just want to highlight two things for us today. And the first one is that prayer is a relationship. Our Father in heaven. This is how you should pray, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven. And in that opening phrase, our Father, it's what Tim Keller calls the gospel in a nutshell. It's a statement of the gospel because we see that we have been brought into relationship with Father God by Jesus. It would be amazing enough if Jesus was praying, my Father, and of course he was. He is God's own Son, and he prays to Father God, and that is astounding to the people who hear him. That would be amazing enough. But the absolutely blockbusting thing here is that Jesus says, not just my Father, but if you believe in me, if you trust in me, if you're in me, he is your Father too. We can pray, you can pray, I can pray, our Father in heaven. We have that relationship with Jesus. If we have put our faith in him, that is strong and sure. He is our brother, and so God is our Father. We have been taken up into the life of God, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are in relationship with him. We are part of the family, and so we can pray our Father. And it's even more astonishing when we just dig into the word a little bit more. The word Father in Greek is pater, but standing behind it is the Aramaic word Abba. You may or may not know there's been quite a lot of debate about this word. Can it be translated dad or even daddy? And I'm sort of on the cusp here. I'm not quite certain that the English word daddy is really an equivalent of Abba, which is maybe a little bit more respectful. And we see absolutely it's our Father in heaven. As someone has said, God is our Almighty. He is not our Almighty. And so we need to be reverent when we come to God. Nevertheless, even if someone like me might hold back from translating Abba as dad or daddy, it is absolutely clear that it is a family word. It is an intimate word. It's a word that might well have been used by sons and daughters of their father when they're young, when they are playing together, when they are having an intimate moment. A good father-son, father-daughter relationship would work with the child saying, Abba, Father. And so there is that intimacy. It's a relational word. And it just reminds us of the extraordinary privilege that we have in prayer. And reminds us, I think, and this is the first point, that we can bring everything to God in prayer. When a child comes to their father, they don't think through a formula in terms of speaking. If the relationship is working well, they don't think, well, I can ask for this and I can't ask for that. I can say this, but I can't say that. A young child would just blurt it out. They would just cry out. If they were hurt, if they were in pain, they would run to Abba Father and they would get relief and they would cry to him. And in that phrase, our Father, we are encouraged also to bring our pains, to bring our issues, to bring our struggles, to bring our joys, to bring everything to God in prayer. This is more of an encouragement than it is a challenge. Yeah, I guess there is a sort of challenge because sometimes we don't do this, but it's much more of an encouragement, isn't it? It's much more of an invitation to bring to God everything in prayer. Don't need to use special words. Don't need to use special phrases. Don't need to know a special formula. Don't sometimes even need to know what words to say when we're in pain, when we're under attack, when we are hurting, when we're struggling, when we're confused, when we can't see the way. So often in those moments, we can't articulate what we really want to say. At the end of Psalm 88, one of the Psalms of Lament, the psalmist is almost breaking down in his words, and it's very hard to translate the final verses. It's incoherent. It's not grammatically correct. It's not quite clear what he's trying to say, but it is a heart cry to God as he expresses himself. And this, brothers and sisters, is true prayer. We can pray, Our Father, we are in a relationship with God, a safe relationship. It's a safe place, a safe space for us to bring our frustrations, our pain, our questions, whatever we want to do. And God holds us and hears us. Yes, we need to be reverent with God in prayer, but yes, also we can cry out to him, for in Jesus, because of Jesus, we can say he is our Father. Do you pray in that way? Do I pray in that way? Or do I not sometimes pray very middle class, very English prayers that are finely phrased, but actually aren't cries from the heart? We don't need to grandstand before God in prayer. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on, and he loves us the same, and therefore we can be honest with our God in prayer. I encourage you, I encourage myself to pray in this way. Know that it is your privilege. Know that you can come and express everything to God in prayer. Are you concerned about the pandemic? Express it to God in prayer. Are you concerned about a friend, a family member? Express it to God in prayer. Are you concerned about something within the life of the church, perhaps your role within it? Express it to God in prayer. Whatever it is, whatever your need is, whatever you want to say to God, you can bring it to Him. He encourages us to do so, for He is our Father. That's the first thing. That's number one. And there is a second thing here as well that I sort of want to hold in tension with the first thing. I hope you don't feel as we get underway that it's going to be a contradiction. Hear and mark what the very first thing was. Pray as you can, not as you can't. Bring everything to God in prayer. We have a special relationship with Him. So hear that. Underline that in your heart and mind. But hear this as well, that we need to pray the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is how we are encouraged to pray, and it's right at the head of the Lord's Prayer. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there is that first place for praise, for worship, for adoration. But then beyond that, it's not jumping on to me, myself, I, but it is praying God's kingdom, praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? Well, the kingdom of God is the place where God's rule runs, where His writ is law, and where He is king, where He is in control. He is perfectly king over heaven. And a day is coming where there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and there will be a perfect integration, a marrying together of heaven and earth. And God's will be done here on earth, just as it is right now in heaven. We are praying for God's reign and rule to come in the present day. Yes, we pray for Jesus to return, but we also pray for the breaking in of the kingdom in the present. And we need to ask ourselves the question, how often do I pray in that way? I know that when I do pray, I can very easily allow my prayers to be dominated by me, myself, I prayers. I was reading back on my treatment of the Lord's Prayer in my discipleship book. It's always a good thing to reread what you have written and to hope that you are putting it into practice. And there's a phrase that I use in the book that often we find that we are praying about our kingdom rather than God's kingdom. And it's a phrase I wrote just a few years ago that I guess I'd forgotten about, that I was challenged about as I read it back. The burden of my prayers, if I'm praying biblically, should be to pray for God's kingdom to come. Yes, my needs are important. And again, hear what I said in the opening point, bring everything to God in prayer. But also, we need to move through that to pray for God's kingdom to come. What does that mean? What will it mean to pray for God's kingdom? Well, it will be to pray for conversions, to pray for people to cross over from darkness to light, your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues, your family. It will involve praying for community transformation. It will involve praying for our cross-cultural missionaries, as we have been as part of 21 Days of Prayer this week. It will involve praying for the persecuted church. It will involve being prayed for the church to be built up. God's concerns, God's kingdom, God's work, the burden of someone who truly prays the Lord's Prayer. And if you're like me, you will find that quite often your prayers get out of alignment. I've had some issues with my car recently. I've had two flat tyres at different times. It's a bit of a blow because, what with pandemic and everything, I've not been out much. But when I have gone out, I've had a few issues with the car, and I've needed to call out Green Flag twice, and they have put new tyres on. But in the time that this was happening, clearly the wheels got out of alignment with each other. And so when I took it for the MOT and the service a few weeks ago, they needed to do some work on that. It's very easy for our prayers to get out of alignment with God's kingdom. And a way that we can get them back into line is to pray the scriptures, to search the Bible for biblical prayers, prayers of the Apostle Paul, a prayer of Hannah, for example, in the Old Testament, the prayers of the psalmists, and to read them through and turn them into prayers of our own. What does Paul pray for? What is his heart for the churches? His heart for growth, for fruitfulness, for evangelism, for the advance of God's kingdom. Read those prayers and turn them into your own prayers, and so get your prayers aligned with Scripture. And again, I want to hold these two things together. I think they can be. They are different points, but they are to be held in tension, not in contradiction. We can pray for absolutely everything. And I say it again, pray as you can, not as you can't. If all you can manage is a cry, if all you can manage is, Lord, help me, then God affirms that and calls you to pray in that way. Just express the relationship that you have with God. But as we go through different times and seasons in our lives, as we press forward in the Christian faith, we are encouraged to pray kingdom prayers and to put our prayers into a biblical harness, to get our prayers in alignment with Scripture, and to pray for conversions, to pray for cross-cultural mission, to pray for the persecuted church, to pray for God's kingdom to come in our city, to pray for God's kingdom to come in our region. 0.85% of people in Yorkshire and the Humber go to church, more in the cities, less in the rural areas. In North Korea, it's estimated that 1.5% of the population are Christians, more in North Korea than in Yorkshire and the Humber. Does that concern you? Is that something that's on your heart? Turn that into prayer, and you will be praying kingdom prayers. And so we are so thankful to Jesus for taking the question of the disciples seriously. Lord, teach us to pray, and he gives us this wonderful, wonderful pattern prayer. We're so thankful to him that because of him, we have this intimate relationship with Father God, so that we can pray our Father and bring everything without exception to our God in prayer. And we're so grateful to Jesus that he calls us to join with him in the work of his kingdom and to pray kingdom prayers. Let's express our gratitude. Let's express our need for present and future grace by coming to our God in prayer often. I know that my prayer life is not what it could be, but a testimony to the grace of God in my life in the last few months, as there have been stresses and strains that I've had to face. I've come to God in prayer morning by morning, and I've just had the joy of knowing God meeting with me. And you know, it's just so humbling, and it's just a testimony to God's grace and goodness from first to last. That is available to all of us. And that wonderful relationship, that wonderful call to prayer, let's press on into it as a church. Let's lay hold of it, not just in these 21 days, but 365 days a year. It's a challenge, but far more than that, it is an opportunity, and it is an extraordinary privilege. May God bless you as you put this word into practice in your life.